My guest at this time is Robert Moffitt. He's a senior fellow in health policy studies at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. He joins me now as there are now five Democratic senators calling for a Medicare for All style approach to health care, called by others a single payer system or a government run system. So how does this open support for single payer change the debate? That's what we'll discuss now. And Bob, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, I'm very happy to be with you. This is going to be another major healthcare policy debate, no question.
Most certainly will be. Bernie Sanders started this push, talked about it a lot during his campaign last year, and now Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and most recently Jeff Merkley are on board. All of them are either reportedly or by rumor considering a presidential run in 2020. So it seems like this is becoming more and more the established position of the Democratic Party. Why do you think the party seems to be coalescing around this idea right now?
Well, I think the immediate reason is the abject failure of Senate Republicans, and it's the Senate's fault here, to enact a health care reform bill to repeal and at least partially replace Obamacare. And what that has done, it has created a major health policy vacuum. So the liberals in Congress and elsewhere are ready to fill it. And they're preparing now for a total government takeover of health care, which is a single-payer system. Barack Obama denied that the Affordable Care Act was a government control of health care. In fact, as we all know, that's nonsense. You cannot make a move in the health insurance market without permission from the government. You need a permission slip to do anything. But what this means is that what they are proposing is nothing short of a government monopoly over the financing and the delivery of health care. And what that really means for people listening to this radio show is that ultimately what this means is that politicians will, in fact, be in direct charge of health policy.
Jeff Merkley, as I mentioned, is the latest Democrat to publicly endorse this idea. Here's a little bit of what he said in connection with that. Health care should be a right for every single American, not a privilege reserved for the healthy and wealthy. He says, right now our health system is incredibly complex, fragmented, and stressful. It would be terrific to have a simple, seamless system where solely by virtue of living in America, you know that you will get the care you need. And he says it would also simplify health care and lower patients' costs. What we've seen from Obamacare, though, is that having coverage doesn't necessarily mean access, and certainly lower costs hasn't materialized. So what's your reaction to his rationale?
Well, I think that Merkley is living in an alternative universe. Anybody who's had to deal with Medicare, and members of the medical profession are very familiar with it, Medicare is governed today by tens of thousands of pages of rules and regulations and guidelines, and Medicare paperwork is eating up more and more of the time and energy and effort of physicians who are distracted by Medicare regulatory details in such a way that they actually spend more time in filling these boxes in than they spend with FaceTime with patients. This is a problem throughout the system, throughout both in the private sector and the public sector. I've had to go through some unnecessary paperwork myself. But my point is that if you think that the government, that Medicare is a model of administrative efficiency, or that Medicare is something somehow or other simple, you've got to have rocks in your head. You're living on another planet. Medicare is sort of the Godzilla of government regulation. And God knows that it is it imposes enormous administrative costs on doctors, hospitals, clinics, and home health agencies who actually have to bear the real cost of complying with Medicare's regulatory system. So you're not talking about anything simple. When they say simple and they say Medicare for all, they're talking about the current Medicare system. And the current Medicare system is hardly simple. Whatever the value of Medicare is, and believe me, there's a lot of value to Medicare, it is not a simple system. In fact, the current Medicare system is incredibly complex, and that's why we have private supplemental health insurance plans that basically promise you that if you sign up with them, they will actually take on the job of doing all the clerical work of taking care of your paperwork.
We're talking with Bob Moffitt of the Heritage Foundation, and Bob, not only is there a lot of complex regulations to comply with when it comes to Medicare, but it's also, let's just say, swimming in red ink, if not drowning in red ink.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So if you add everyone on top of that pile, what's that going to mean in terms of debt? What's it going to mean in terms of necessary tax hikes and that sort of thing?
Well, that's right. I mean, you're going to be talking about a massive tax increase. You already are facing a situation in Medicare that most Americans, I think, do not yet fully appreciate. But most of those of us who are in health policy and deal with federal fiscal policy know that what we are faced with right now is a $20 trillion deficit. We're looking at rising deficits in the future and rising debt. And our friends over at the Congressional Budget Office tell us that the major driver of deficits and debt in the future is expanding entitlements. And, of course, one of the biggest, the fastest expanding entitlement is Medicare. And there's an obvious reason for that. We have a rapidly aging population. About 10,000 baby boomers are retiring every day. And the long-term debt, in other words, the unfunded liability of the Medicare program, that is the amount of benefits that have been promised to senior citizens that are not paid for, range anywhere between $37 and $44 trillion over the next 75 years, depending upon what assumptions you use. So we're already facing a situation which is, from a fiscal standpoint, close to catastrophic. If you decide to pay for it directly up front, you're going to have a pretty big payroll tax. And I think, you know, on this point, I think some of our friends in Congress, the liberal colleagues in the state legislatures, at least deserve credit for being honest and open about it. Out in California, the state Senate already passed a bill which is a single-payer bill. It's going to cost anywhere between $331 to $400 billion. I mean, my God. And if you consider the fact that, you know, California's total state spending right now is $183 billion. So the proposed California plan is going to increase the budget anywhere from 58 to 110% of the cost. I mean, you're looking at, I mean, frankly, it's whack job economics. You're looking at the Senate legislative analysts, they themselves say that this will require a 15% payroll tax. Well, that's their view of it. Now, they're talking about something that looks like Medicare. So the result of that would be to impose on California residents the highest payroll tax burden in the country, considering that Californians, like other Americans, already pay a 15.3% federal payroll tax. Really crazy stuff.
Bob, we know that at least until recently, Americans couldn't stand Obamacare, not even during the debate and all the way up to the recent debate, but they didn't like the Republican ideas that were out there. Do you get the sense that they'll embrace this anymore, or do you think they want something else?
No, I don't think Americans are particularly ideological about this issue. What I mean by that is, you know, Warren and Sanders and Merkley and Conyers in the House, what's interesting about this is the mainstream Democrats now, basically half the House Democratic Caucus, half the Democrats in the House of Representatives, have embraced this idea. But what's really remarkable about this is that it flies in the face of what we know. And what we know is, overwhelmingly, 90% of Americans who have health insurance today, the vast number of them, get health insurance through their employer, about 90% of Americans under the age of 65. Now, surveys show a lot of things. They show that, people don't like health care costs, although in the employer system, the costs have been going up much slower than they have been in the Obamacare markets. But, people, if you ask them, yeah, do they like their health plans at the place of work? The answer is yes. There are a lot of things wrong with employment-based health insurance, but the overwhelming majority of people are in it. So, you know, when Obamacare promised that he would not take away your plan, right, that turned out to be false, especially if you were in the individual market. Here, the Democrats in the Senate, Warren, Sanders, Senator Merkley, John Conyers in the House, they are telling you that they are going to take away your health plan. And I think they're making that very clear. I welcome the debate. Honestly do. I think we ought to have a debate about this. I think we ought to put all our cards on the table and really have it out. But you mentioned, what does it say about the Democrats? It means that today, President John F. Kennedy would never be able to win a Democratic presidential nomination. The folks who now call themselves the heart and soul of the Democratic Party have basically embraced socialism for at least almost one-fifth of our economy. And that tells you a lot about what has happened. They're consumed by identity politics. They're eager to impose political correctness as part of an aggressive countercultural agenda. And now their economic agenda boils down to heavier taxation, higher spending, and larger government programs, and even greater government control over our personal lives. And frankly, if they want to have that debate, I'm ready to go.
Last question before we let you go. We obviously mentioned in passing the failed Republican effort to address health care, particularly in the Senate. A lot of people say the Republicans can't just leave it there. Others say they've got to move on. There's other priorities. What do you think? Is it dead for this Congress or not?
No, I think it's not dead for this Congress. I think they're going to try it again. I think they're going to try something. They have got, first of all, it's not a question of what they want to do. How about that? This whole argument about, this is an optional matter. No, it's not. The House of Representatives under Paul Ryan, in fact, delivered on health policy. Everybody's got to understand that. So when we talk about the Republican leadership, we are not talking about the House leadership. We are talking about the Senate. And, McConnell, I'm sure he tried to do the best he could. But the fact of the matter is it's not good enough. And the truth here is that when you have 25% premium increases in the individual market, and you're talking about deductibles that look like they came out of a madhouse, we're talking about $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 deductibles. And you're talking about the fact that millions of Americans are now faced with narrow networks. In other words, they don't have access to the doctors they thought they would have. And you have a radical reduction in competition. This is not an optional matter. The individual market in the United States is in crisis. They have no options here. It's not a question of what the hell they want to do, pardon me. They have got to do their job. Because if they don't do their job, millions of Americans get hurt, especially the millions of middle-class Americans who today do not get any subsidies whatsoever, about 15 million of them in the individual market and the small group market, who are faced with these horrendous premium increases and deductibles. No, Congress has got to get its act together. They have no choice.
Bob, we'll have to leave it there for today. Thanks very much for your time and your insights.
Okay, sir.
Robert Moffitt, Senior Fellow in Health Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.